We're up to the Gemara Brachos Mimvavam and Beis in the standard Ein Yaakov's, that's page Ayin Zayin. And our Gemara is going to discuss the concept of Am Haaretz. Am Haaretz simply means the nation of the land. And the question is, why do we call certain people an Am Haaretz, the nation of the land? So Maimonides explains that it is complementary. We're saying these are people who are productive in the realm of developing the land. A person can be productive in developing the spirit of the nation. A person can be productive in learning Torah, teaching Torah, developing Torah. A person can be productive in the areas of basic life, harvesting the land, selling the food of the land. And so, says the Rambam, the concept Am Haaretz, although it is indicative of a person who is not learned, it's indicative of a person who in some area of Torah is not learned, but it is complementing the other areas where he is productive. There is a person who's called a boor. Boor means fallow land, it's not even plowed. A boor is a person who sits and he is what we might call a bum. He's not productive even in the basic things. He's not making a livelihood. He's not developing anything. He's just sitting and drinking or whatever he's doing with his time, but he's not being productive at all. So that's a boor. And Am Haaretz, we're stressing the productive side of his life. So we're saying this is a person who's productive in agriculture and in developing something in the worldly aspects of life, but the connotation is always negative because it's always indicative of a person who is not learned in a certain area. Now, the term Am Haaretz has different meanings in different contexts. And the Gemara over here focuses on the question, how do you define an Am Haaretz? Meaning, you could have a person who you could rely on that he knows the laws of Trumos and Maaseres. When he gives you food to eat, you can rely that he took off the tithe and he took off the truma and he gave the gifts properly and the food he's giving you is kosher. And then you had people who never bothered learning these halachot and they weren't careful with these halachot. And sometimes they'd say, well, that's a huge tax, 10% to take off his ma'aserish, and I'm not doing that. And it was a pretty common thing that people would transgress the biblical commandment of taking off ma'aserishon and Trumas Meiser, they'd only take the first gift, one out of 50, they'd say, that's a tax I can handle. They'd give that to the Kohen, and the rest they wouldn't take off. So the people who did that were known as Amei Haaretz, people of the land. The people who were not learned, the people who were not reliable to do the mitzvahs in a proper way. But there are other areas where a person is called an Am Haaretz, and so our Gemara is going to ask the question repeatedly, who is an Am Haaretz, and give many different answers, and then it's left to the commentaries to break their head. Wait a second, in what realm is this talking? Is it talking in the realm that you can't trust him to give true testimony? Is it talking in the realm that you can't bench with him? What are we talking about? In which realm? That you can't eat his food? There are different areas where a person is called an Am Haaretz. And so our Gemara is a little bit unclear in that respect. We have a hard time with this Gemara. Rashi says at the onset that we're talking about the general term Am Haaretz. Whenever you encounter the term Am Haaretz, that's the question over here. Who are we talking about? So Tanya, we have the following braisa. Ezo Am Haaretz. You guys have it? About 7-8 lines from the bottom, 6 lines from the bottom. Page Ayin Zayin. You have it? Tanya, we have the following braisa. Ezeu Am Haaretz. Who is classified as an Am Haaretz? Kol Shein Ochel Chulav B'Tarat Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says that's a person who does not eat his food on a steady basis in a state of purity. If he is not careful that everything he eats is pure, so then he has pure foods and impure foods mixed, and that means that he could easily defile the food he's giving you, and you can't assume that any item he gives you is pure, is tahor. That's an Am Haaretz. So Rabbi Meir has a very high level for an Am Haaretz. Meaning, according to Rabbi Meir, we're all Am Haaretzim, for sure. And most people around in Rabbi Meir's day were Am Haaretzim, because Rabbi Meir says, anyone that doesn't attain the level of a chaver, chaver is like a friend, someone who's been board certified that he knows the laws of purity and is careful to maintain purity in his home and all the foods he eats, so he's an Amaretz. The rabbis disagree. They say, we're talking about someone who does not take off his tithe the way he should. If he doesn't take off the tithe the way he should, so then he's eating food that's really not kosher. So a guy who's eating non-kosher, okay, that's an Amaretz. Nani kutai, the Gemara says, now what about the kutim? You guys remember who the kutim are?
I want to know what was going to take you off the tithe. You mean a neck
tithe? Tithe, a tenth.
That's why I do
understand. Tithe, the tenth, meaning the Torah says that. So there were people who would not take off the tenth to give to the Levite. They would just hold on to it. Now, technically, there's a tenth that goes to the Levite, and a tenth of that tenth goes to the Kohen, which is punishable with the death penalty, the Torah says. By God, not by us. We don't give the death penalty for it, but in heavens, if a person doesn't take that off, so that's punishable by death in the hands of heaven.
The Trumas Meiser, that's
from
the lady to the Kohen.
Right, but the Amoretz, the people used to think, if I don't take off the first tenth, then I'm not obligated to, then the levy doesn't have to take off the second tenth, and I could eat it. It's okay.
The original guy is liable.
The original guy wouldn't take off a tenth. He'd say that's too much.
For the
Trumas Meiser, yeah.
The Trumas Meiser,
correct.
Since he did not give the levy the option to
correct.
Take it.
Correct. So Chachamim say, you want to know who an Amaretz is? Someone who doesn't take off his tenth, his tithe. Now, when the Jews came back to rebuild the second temple, they found nations that were brought in by the Assyrian Empire to habitate the land. Those nations adopted some of the laws of the Torah, but they didn't accept the oral law completely. They didn't accept what the rabbis said, and because they came from a place called Kuta, they were called Kutim. And they underwent the second gear, meaning they underwent a mock gear when they first came to the land. God sent lions to attack them. And then they said to the Assyrian king, this is terrible. The Jews living here never had lions attacking them. Must be the God of the land wants us to obey by the law of the land. Send us a teacher so we could obey the law of the land. So a Kohen came and taught them some Torah. They continued being pagans. And on the outside, they kept some mitzvahs. And for whatever reason, that appeased the lions. They stopped attacking them. Then when the Jews came back to rebuild the second temple, they were big troublemakers, these Kutim. They got in our way and they made us a lot of problems. But then there went the second gear. They went the real gear. Because the first gear is for sure not a gear. They continued being pagans. They would worship idols in their home. That's not a gear. If a guy's continuing to be a pagan, right? Then there went the second gear. And then for a period of about 2 to 3 centuries, the rabbis saw that they did gear, but they're not accepting the oral law. So they kept having a discussion. Are the Kutim believed in this area or not? Do they adhere to these laws or not? Because they had a whole group of people who were not going by the oral tradition. They kept to their interpretation of the Torah, and it kept going back and forth and back and forth until at the generation of Rabbi Meir, they did some research, and they found out that without anyone's knowing it, the Kutim were still worshipping the figure of a dove. They had a secret figure of a dove on Har Gerizim or Har Ebal, and they were still worshipping it. And then they declared all the Kutim are not Jewish. Finished. No more questions. The courts came to a conclusion. But for a long time, during most of the period of the Mishnah, it was questionable what the Kutim were. Are they Jewish? Are they not Jewish? What can we, if they make matzah, can we trust them that it's good kosher matzah? So the Braisa continues and says, Vehani kutoi, and the Kutim, asurei me'asle, they do take off their tithe. They're careful to take off their ma'aser. You could trust them. If they give you food, then they took off their tithe. You could rely that their grains and their crops are kosher in that way. Kadchazi, as we see, that whatever is written in the written law, mizel zehire, they're very careful. The Amar Mal, for we have the following quote, kol mitzvah shechziku ba kutim, any mitzvah that the kutim did perform, harbe medaktikim ba'itom Yisrael, they're more careful than we are. Meaning any mitzvah that they already accepted, they were more careful than we were about that mitzvah. And being that this was a mitzvah they accepted, so in this area they weren't called Amei Aretz. The Kutim were not Amei Aretz. They were careful to take off a tithe. Now, this isn't so simple. Because the Kutim, they interpret the verse that says, Lifnei iver lo titen michshol, don't put a stumbling block in front of a blind man. They interpret that literally. They don't accept our tradition on that. So the Kutim felt that if you give someone else non-kosher food, that's okay. Because we have an interpretation that says, don't put a stumbling block before a blind man means not only a person who's physically blind, but any area where a person is uninformed. Don't let him stumble. Don't let someone else sin. Don't let someone else eat something non-kosher. Don't give him food that's not kosher without telling him. The Kutim didn't accept this tradition that we have in that verse. So they felt, if a Jew eats non-kosher, it's not my problem. I have no responsibility to him. So, although the Braisa seems to say, well, you could trust them because they were careful about mitzvos that are written in the Torah. That's true if the Kuti, you see him eating from the food, he's not going to eat food that's not kosher. But if he has crops that he just brought in from his field and he plans on selling it to a Jew, so then he's not going to take off. Why should he take off 10%? He believes that's not his problem, that's your problem. He has no problem giving you non-kosher food because they don't accept our interpretation that it's prohibited to cause someone else to sin. So the Braisa needs a little bit of work when the Braisa says, well, you could rely on them. Unless the Kutim held in this area that it was their responsibility, even if they would sell the crops. We hold that if you sell the crops, you're not necessarily obligated biblically to take off the tithe. But maybe they didn't accept our tradition on that. So maybe they held that it's still their responsibility biblically, and then maybe that's why they would take off the tithe, even though they weren't concerned with someone else sinning, but maybe that's why they would take off the tithe. Tanu Rabbanan, we have another braisa. Ezeu am aretz. This braisa again asks the question, how do you define an am aretz? And the braisa gives a totally different answer. It says, kol sheino korek kriyat shema shachrit varvit divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Anyone who does not declare monotheism, does not say Shema every night and every morning, that's an am aretz. That's Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. Rabbi Yoshua Omer, it's very interesting because Rabbi Eliezer, it says that when he started learning Torah, he didn't even know how to say Shema Yisrael. He was in his 20s and he didn't know how to say Shema. He didn't know Shema, he didn't know benching, he didn't know anything. And he's the one that says, you want to know what an Am Haaretz is? That's someone who doesn't read Shema every morning and every night. Rabbi Yoshua Omer, Rabbi Yoshua says, Kol Sheino Menech Tefillin. If he doesn't don Tefillin, so if he doesn't don Tefillin, he's not making the declaration of monotheism. That's as basic as it gets. Benazai omer kol sheino tzitzit bevigdo. Benazai says, whoever doesn't wear tzitzis, he's wearing a four-cornered garment without tzitzis. Okay, so he's making a statement. The tzitzis is called the royal seal that God gave every Jew. We have royal blue in the tzitzis. We have the tcheles, we used to have. And this is like a royal seal that God gives us to carry around, that we're his chosen people, the tzitzis. Rabbi Natan Omer, kol she'en lo mezuzah al pitcho. Rabbi Nelson says, anyone who doesn't have a mezuzah by the entrance to his house, again, he's not accepting monotheism. Why doesn't he have the standard declaration? Everyone else has a flag outside their house. We declare monotheism. That what's our flag? Our mezuzah. Yeah, some people put up a flag. We put up a mezuzah. Our mezuzah is our declaration. So if he doesn't have a mezuzah, so that's an indication he's not maritz. Rabbi Yonatan ben Yosef Omer, kol mi she'esh lo banim ve'na migadlan netora. Rabbi Yonatan ben Yosef says, you want to know where his heart is? Look at what education he's giving his kids. If a person has kids and he doesn't teach them Torah, that's an am haaretz. Acharim umrim, and then the final opinion, others say, afilu kara v'shana, even someone who learned Tanakh, he learned Mishnah, velo shimesh talmidei chachamim, but he didn't learn the logic of the laws. He didn't learn Talmud. He didn't learn by the rabbis. He didn't learn to understand what's really going on here. So he knows the Mishnayos, but he doesn't really understand them. Hareza am haaretz, that's an am haaretz. And the Gemara concludes this discussion with the following story. Rav Menashe bar Tachlifa, there was a rabbi, Rav Menashe bar Tachlifa, Tana, he learned Hilchita, Safra, Sifri. He learned a whole bunch of works of Tanaic authorship. He learned Hilchas HaSafra and Sifri. And Rami Bar Chama would not join with him in Zimun. When it came time to bench, he held him to be in Am Haaretz, and he wouldn't join with him in Zimun. Rami Bar Chama passed away. Shachiv Rami Bar Chama. Amar Rava, and Rava said, Haydi Anish Rami Bar Chama. He said, you guys want to know why Rami Bar Chama died? Because he wouldn't join Rav Menashe in the Zimun. Rav Menashe learned, And Rami Bar Chama says, he didn't learn enough. He's an Amoretz. That's why he died. Powerful statement. Only someone as great as Rava could say such a thing. We never know why people die. But Rava, okay, on his level, he felt he knew, so he knew. And that's what he tells us. So the Gemara says, but we just read in the Braisa that there is a valid opinion that says that until you get Talmud, the person is still an Am Haaretz. So wasn't Rami Bar Chama valid in holding Rav Menashe to be an Am Haaretz? It's good that Rav Menashe learned all these Tanoic works, but he never learned the logic of the rabbis. He never learned the Talmud. And isn't it true that according to this opinion in the Braisa, he's still called an Am Haaretz? Answers the Gemara, Shani Rav Menashia de Mashmalul Rabbanan. No, Rav Menashia did serve by the rabbis. He did learn. He did do an apprenticeship. But Rami Bar Chama was too quick to judge him. He didn't verify the real story. He heard, he learned a lot of Tanoic works. And then he said, I'm not benching with him. He should have verified. Rav Menashe really also learned by the rabbis. That's answer number one, why Rava held that the cause for Rami's death was this mistreatment of Rav Menashe. Lishna Achrina, a different version has it the following, Kevan deshama shmaita mepumayu drabanan vegarislu, because he learned his Mishnayos, he got his tradition from the rabbis themselves, and he reviewed it, Kitsubam Rabbanan dami, he is nonetheless considered like a young rabbi. And that's why he should have been treated differently. So we have two variations on the answer, but at any rate, he shouldn't have been treated like an Am Haaretz. That's the conclusion of the Gemara. So what we saw today is that an Am Haaretz has different halachic implications. There are many opinions as to what defines an Am Haaretz, be it that he doesn't eat impurity, be it that he doesn't take off his tithe. We had a discussion of who the Kutim were and what they were and were not careful about. And then we had other opinions that said it's people who don't accept monotheism, or at least don't overtly accept monotheism, either because they don't read Shema, wear tefillin, wear tzitzis, put a mezuzah, or teach their children Torah. And then the final opinion was the most stringent opinion, which said if a person, even if he learned, but he didn't learn the tradition, he didn't learn by the rabbis, then that's an Am Haaretz. And then we had this story where Rami Bar Chama considered Rav Menashe an Am Haaretz because he didn't have the tradition of the Talmud, and Rava held that that was why Rami Bar Chama passed away when he did, because of his treatment of Rav Menashe.